This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك الذين هدى الله فبهداه مقتده صدق الله العظيم Respected teachers, scholars, dear friends and elders in Islam Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said أَحَبُّ الْأَسْمَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ The most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, most of the companions of Prophet Muhammad started naming their children Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. That is why you are going to find so many Abdullah amongst the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Amr, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Out of all this Abdullah, inshallah, today we will talk about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who was Abdullah ibn Abbas? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was born in Islam, as in he was born after the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 3 years prior to hijrah, 3 years prior to migration. And he was given tahniq. Tahniq is where we chew a date and give it to the child with a little bit of addition of saliva, because a date is rich in iron. And spiritually, also it has an impact on the life of the child. So he was given tahniq by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu enjoyed a very close company and companionship of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was a close relative to the Prophet of Allah. How? The father to Hadrat Abdullah, whose name was Abbas, was the son to Abdul Muttalib. The father to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose name was Abdullah, was also the son to Abdul Muttalib. So what is the relation between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abdullah ibn Abbas? They are the first cousins to each other. And Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also a close relative to Hadrat Ali, because the father to Hadrat Ali, Abu Talib, was also the son to Abdul Muttalib. So all the three of them were close relatives to each other. So Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas enjoyed a very close companionship of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Firstly, because of his relation with the Prophet of Allah. Secondly, because he was a young child. So he grew up in the house of Prophet of Allah, playing in the house of Prophet of Allah. Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself mentions that I used to prepare the water of wudu for the Prophet of Allah whenever he wanted to perform salah. And whenever we traveled together, I used to climb on the same animal as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to sit behind the Prophet of Allah as a young child. And he mentions that upon many occasions when we were walking together, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would lift me and then he would carry me on his shoulders. So subhanallah, look at the close company Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who enjoyed with the Prophet of Allah. He mentions in another narration that upon one occasion Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performing salah and I started copying him. How it happens in our house, in our homes, when we are performing salah, our wives, our mothers are performing salah, you will see a child, he will start imitating the mother. If it is a good child, inshallah, it will copy the salah. But if it is a naughty child, he will climb on your shoulder when you go in ruku, or when you go in sajda, he will sit on your back. So Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas says that I started performing salah behind the Prophet of Allah. So as the salah was going on, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam grabbed me from my hand, and then he pulled me right next to him, because when a person is performing salah alone with an imam, he's supposed to stand next to the imam. So he pulled me next to him. So I went back again. I went behind. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was done with his salah, He said to me, "O Abdullah, why did you go behind?" So I said to him that, "O Prophet of Allah, I love you so much and I respect you so much that I don't want to stand in the same line as you. So it was out of respect I went behind, and I want to stay behind you for the rest of my life." So at that occasion, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a dua. In fact, there are two occasions upon which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a dua which had a real impact on the life of Abdullah ibn Abbas, which was even noted and noticed by the other companions. The first occasion upon which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a dua was when Abdullah ibn Abbas was playing, and he said, "Allahumma faqqihhu fid din." Allah Ta'ala grant him a deep understanding of deen. You know, to know your religion is a different thing. To understand your religion deeply is a different thing. That is why you have heard, you must have heard many scholars in their bayans and in their du'as saying that, "Oh Allah, may Allah Ta'ala give us the right understanding of deen. May Allah Ta'ala give us the deep understanding of deen." So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him that dua. Allahumma faqqihhu fid din. Allah grant him a deep understanding of deen. وَعَلِّمْهُ التَّعْوِيلِ. And Allah teach him the interpretation of the Holy Quran. That is why later on he was regarded and known as Habrul Ummah wa Turjumanil Quran. Habrul Ummah, the jurist of this Ummah. Hadrat Abdullah was regarded the jurist of this Ummah wa Turjumanil Quran, an expert in the field of explanation of the Holy Quran. So that was the impact of the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second occasion upon which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a dua was when he was performing salah. He grabbed him and then he went behind. So at that time Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him a dua. Allahumma atihi al-hikmah. Allah Ta'ala grant him wisdom. Allah Ta'ala grant him wisdom. It comes in narrations that when Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who used to walk in the streets of Medina, as young as he was, people used to look at him and they used to say that he's a young child, but he's a wise child. He's a young child, but he's an understanding child. That was the impact of the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this we learn that let us not underestimate the power of dua. You never know whose dua is accepted. Let us do such actions through which we receive the du'as of others. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those. So this is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now let us see how desperately he sought knowledge, how much he loved knowledge. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was only 13 years old. How many years old? 13 years old. But if you go to the scholars today and ask that how many ahadith, how many sayings of Prophet Muhammad are narrated by this same 13 years old child, they will tell you above 1,600 ahadith. Above 1,600 ahadith. If we get together in this masjid, all of us get together and we try and remember 1,600 ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we won't manage. But Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas himself knew 1,600 ahadith. And how did he learn this ahadith? He himself mentions that upon many occasions when I got to know about a companion of Prophet of Allah who knew of a hadith, I would go to his house and I would wait for that person outside in order to listen to that hadith. He mentions that upon one occasion, I reached at the house of one sahabi in the afternoon, and it was a hot day. And I said to myself that how can I start disturbing my teacher? How can I start knocking the door at this hour of the day? So I waited outside in the heat. We all know the heat of Saudi Arabia. He waited the whole afternoon. And in the evening, when the companion came out, he said that, "Oh Abdullah, you are the family member of the Prophet of Allah. Why didn't you knock the door?" He said that, "No, this is what my Prophet has taught me regarding teachers and regarding scholars." Hadrat Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala who mentions that upon one occasion I came out of my house and I saw Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala who waiting for me. He started hastening towards my animal and he started holding the reins of my animal so that I could climb on it. So I said to him that, "Oh Abdullah, you are a family member of Prophet of Allah. You don't have to do this." So he said to me that, "Oh Zayd, This is what my Prophet has taught me regarding teachers. This is how I'm supposed to respect them. So then Hazrat Zayd bin radiallahu ta'ala anhu grabbed his hands and then he kissed on his hands and then he said to him, and this is what my Prophet has taught me regarding the family members of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders and friends, we have to learn something from this particular incident, and it is that this Abdullah ibn Abbas is a family member of the Prophet of Allah, and look at how he is respecting the teachers and the scholars around him. Let us ask a question to ourselves. Do we respect our scholars and our teachers in the same way? There have been incidents where a member ends up reaching to the doors of the class, uttering disrespectful statements in front of the teacher, in front of the scholar. And this is Abdullah ibn Abbas, a family member of the Prophet of Allah. And look how he's respecting the teachers. Or sometimes you receive a call, Mawlana, I've asked you a question 1 week, 2 weeks now, can't you give an answer? My brother, Hadrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, used to go to the house of the Sahaba to achieve his knowledge. Today, we want our knowledge online. Secondly, we want express delivery, fast delivery. It should come straight away. Let us calm our horses down. We are not saying that we have to start knocking on the doors of the scholars, but how about some respect? How about some selection of words? Let us learn how to respect the scholars and teachers around us. And I'm not beating this drum because I come from the same field, but as a student, if I am a student, it is important for me to respect my teachers and my scholars. As a father, it is important for me to respect the teachers and the scholars of my children. You know, there is a saying in English that the teachers hold a higher status than the parents. Why? Because the parents give birth to a child. But what happens next? The child goes to madrasa, the child goes to school, and the same teacher, same maulana, same scholar molds that child's personality. He molds that child's personality. He turns him from a charcoal into a diamond. So let us all agree. And all this is happening because we have disregarded. And we have started thinking that this profession is the lowest of profession. Let us not think in those lines. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was introduced as a teacher. He said, "Bu'ithu mu'allima." I have been sent as a teacher to you. So it is high time we start respecting the teachers and the scholars around us. Will we all do that? Inshallah. Inshallah. So this is how he sought knowledge. Now let us look at his intelligence, how clever he was. It comes in narrations that upon one occasion, in fact at the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a certain group came out of the obedience of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas goes to Hazrat Ali and he says to him that, "Oh Ali, allow me to go and speak to them. I might convince them." So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu allowed him. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas goes to this group of people and then he questions them and he tells them that, "Put forward the dispute you have regarding Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu." And they start putting forward all the difference of opinions they had. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu answers to each and every query of theirs, proving it from the Holy Quran. He took out a verse from the Holy Quran and he said that, "Look, you are saying this, but this is what the Quran says. You are saying this, but this is what the Quran says." And when Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu came back to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came back with a large group of people back into the obedience of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That is how intelligent he was. At the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar used to call him for a lot of mashwera, and the Sahaba questioned him that, "Oh Umar, you have so many experienced Sahaba amongst you, why do you have to call a young Sahabi? Why do you have to call a young child?" So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied to them that Hazrat Abdullah was regarded a wise child at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why I invite him for all the mashweras. Upon one occasion, Hazrat Umar is seated with all the Sahaba and he says that there is a verse in the Holy Quran, "Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath," and when the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, "Waraita an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja," and people started entering into the fold of Islam. "Fasabbih bihamdi rabbi wastakbir," glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Innahu kana tawwaba," Allah ta'ala is the most forgiving. So this verse, what does it mean? What does it mean? So someone replied that it is talking about glorifying Allah. It is talking about the help of Allah. Someone replied it is talking about repenting to Allah. Then he asked that, "Oh Abdullah, what do you have to say? What do you have to say? What does this verse mean?" So he replied that this verse was a hint to the Prophet of Allah that your mission has been accomplished. Now it is time for you to return. So start repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the intelligence of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Let us look at his fan following. How many people followed him? How many students he had? It comes in a narration that upon one occasion, a friend of his came to his house and he saw a large group, a massive group waiting outside the house of Abdullah ibn Abbas. So he entered the house and he found Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu resting. So he woke him up. "There, Abdullah, there are people waiting outside for you." So Hazrat Abdullah woke up, he performed his wudu, and then he made an announcement that whoever wants to make query regarding the Holy Quran can come in. So those people came in, he answered to their queries, they went. Now, whoever wants to know about hadith can come in. They came, he answered, they went. Whoever wants to know about eloquence, Arabic, linguistic, they came in, they went. That is the crowd he had outside his house. At the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu went for Umrah and he saw that there is a man walking in front and there is a large group following him. So he asked the people around him that, "Who's this man? And there are so many people following him." They replied, "That is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu." Now, what was the reason? What was the secret to this knowledge? Someone asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, "There, Abdullah, what is the secret to this knowledge?" He replied that, "I used to ask a lot of questions. I used to ask a lot of questions." Respected elders and friends, we get to learn something here. And it is that when our children have to ask a question to us, how do we get back to them? Is it that we are replying them with a logical answer, or is it that we are silencing them? If we are silencing them, then we are going to create a society of potatoes. Yes, there will be no intellectuals amongst us. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Forget about children nowadays. Even the elderly ones and the adults are told to stay quiet when they come up with a logical questioning. That is not supposed to be the case. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding of deen. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Saka.